Today, on Rainbow Country, broadcaster David Marsden, Lorraine Zagato, and Toronto Mayor John Tory. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Words or phrases not suitable for all audiences. So, honey, you've been warned.
10 days ago, Toronto police rounded up 286 men in the largest mass arrest in Canada since the imposition of the War Measures Act in 1970. The men were owners and patrons of four Toronto steam baths frequented by homosexuals. They were charged under the body house provision of the Criminal Code. The arrest drew loud protests from a coalition including religious and literary spokesmen, and across the city, the gay community gathered in street demonstrations and mass meetings.
No matter who you are, no matter what you do, we all have a story to tell, and it starts right here on this gay radio show. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall Riots to the legalization of same-sex marriage. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this continuing journey through Rainbow Country. To CIUT 89.5 FM, and this is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show. I have a jam-packed show, so I'm going to keep it short, and when I return, Mayor John Tory.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
John Tory, how are you doing?
How could anybody be any better than when it's Pride time? So I'm great. Thank you very much. I mean, for all the things that happen when I wake up early in the morning and I hear some issue on the radio and I think, oh my God, I have to go to my office and deal with that today, I'm great.
So Mayor John Tory, you have been the mayor since 2014. Is being the mayor of Toronto, Canada's largest city, is it all you thought it would be?
Yeah, I mean, it's got tough moments, you know, where you end up dealing with things that are impossible to deal with because there is no right answer. There's somebody who's going to think you're wrong no matter what you're doing. But the joy of the job, I can tell you that getting out, because I love being with people, so to get out to the events, you know, whether it's Pride or whether it's much smaller community events, and I was with some kids earlier today, grade 4, 5, and 6, answering their questions. Their questions were fabulous. They're about the environment and animals and, you know, what my job was like and so on. And they're so full of joy and so full of kind of lack of cynicism and innocence. And those parts of the job, I assure you, or when you can do something for somebody, even a small something where somebody has a problem with their housing or they have a problem with the government that they can't get fixed and you just make one phone call and their problem is solved. I mean, how good does that make you feel? So I love this job. But I've loved every job I've ever had, including being a radio talk show host. And, oh, it was fun. I loved that. I mean, it was like you had to work, but I mean, my kids only told me I only worked 3 hours a day, and this was very bad. But it was fun. I mean, you know, I got to sit there and say whatever I wanted and talk to lots of interesting people. It was great.
So we're standing here on Church Street, the heart of Toronto's gay village. Let's talk about Pride 2017. Police won't be marching in the parade this year, and that's because of a decision made by Pride Toronto. Mm-hmm. And that decision was made because of the demands by Black Lives Matter Toronto. However, recently, New York City invited Toronto police to march in their Pride, wearing their uniforms. And New York City is arguably the birthplace for the gay movement. Mm-hmm. 1969, the Stonewall riots. So, Mayor John Tory, my question to you is this. Do you think the decision that Pride Toronto made to exclude police, do you think that that was a step backwards in regards to the relationship between the gay community here in Toronto and police?
I do. I mean, I've made no bones about the fact that I think it is important that police and everybody else feel welcome in the Pride Parade. However, I also understand, because it's my job to kind of try to see all sides of things, because I represent everybody in Toronto. My job, there's only one mayor, and I represent all the people. And there are some issues that exist between parts of our community and the police. So what I feel good about, I feel bad about the fact the police aren't in the parade. I don't have any particular opinion on them being invited to go to New York. That's up to New York to invite them, and if they want to go, then super. But what I feel good about here is that the Pride people, Olivia Numa and her team, and the police chief, both of whom I know and both of whom I respect, they're talking to each other. And they're talking to each other with a view to getting this issue resolved in whatever way it gets resolved. And so this is the Toronto way we do things. You know, we shouldn't be pushing four alarm buttons to say, you know, we should be saying, okay, we either agree or disagree with what went on. I happen to disagree with excluding police from Pride. I want them to be back in the parade. But the bottom line is people, Toronto style, are talking. And they'll get it sorted out. I'm absolutely confident of that because I know both people involved talking and I respect them both. And they're the kind of people who will be looking for a solution, not to polarize things.
My last question for you. What does Pride mean to you, Mayor John Tory?
The best way I could describe it is to talk about the crowd, because I've had the privilege of being in the parade. So as a result, I get to see it from a different vantage point, which is to look at the people who are there. There is no event I go to, and I'll get in trouble for saying this, but I don't care. There is no event I go to, including the Santa Claus parade. So even to compare the two, some people would take, you know, be taking gas. But there's no event I go to that has more diversity in the audience, the people that are showing up to celebrate and to have fun and to sort of celebrate what Toronto is, than the Pride Parade. And so I say to myself, like, how good is this? That this is a thing that seems to bring everybody together. And, you know, 20 years ago, that wouldn't have been so. But now it's so, and thank God it's so. And as that has happened, we've started to be more sensitive to trans rights and to other people who would have been even more marginalized in previous years. So this is a great gathering of people, which is why I think it's so important everybody be included, including the police, and they'll sort that out. But that's what I think about Pride, is that I think it's this great it's tons of fun. Where else do I get to go in my job and actually, without getting in trouble, squirt people with a massive squirt gun cannon and do it to people even that I've wanted to do it for all year? I wait just to have the chance with some of my council colleagues even to say, here, take this. But it's really about that celebration, and it's about the fact everybody in town shows up to celebrate how lucky we are to have the rights we have in the city and to have the freedoms we have, the respect we have for each other. You know, we don't judge people based on who they love or what the color of their skin is or any of that stuff. We just enjoy the fact we're Canadians and Torontonians and respect each other and stand up for each other, watch each other's backs. So Pride is about all that to me.
Mayor John Tory, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Pleasure, as always.
Well, there you go. Toronto Mayor John Tory squirting his gun during the Pride Parade. He'll be there on Sunday. When I return, Lorraine Zagato.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Wild women don't get the blues. A fabulous afternoon cabaret of sassy music, monologues, celebrating Pride, Canada 150, and featuring the talents of some great Canadian women. So this cabaret is happening Saturday, June 24th, Paintbox Bistro, Regent Park. That's at 555 Dundas Street East. Doors open at 3:30. Tickets start at $22. And for more information and to get the tickets, you go to wildwomenpp.eventbrite.com. So Wild Women Don't Get the Blues features the talents of Colleen Allen, Alana Bridgewater, Britta B., Carly Howell, Diane Lay, Diane Flax, and Carrie Chestnut, and features my next guest, Lorraine Zagato.
Wow.
That was a long intro.
That was a great long intro. They're like, Wild Women, who's that? What's going on?
So let's go there.
Okay.
Wild Women Don't Get the Blues. What can people expect when they come to this event, this cabaret?
Great fun. What Wild Women is a collection of established and emerging artists, singers, women singers who come up, and by and large we sing songs that other iconic women singers have made famous. And so this will be our fifth or sixth cabaret. We pick themes. And then we, you know, pick songs that go with these themes, and then we get monologues, and we get comedians or spoken word, or so it's a combination of music and text and theater sometimes, and it's in a great environment that has great food. You know, we always have great food.
Food's very important.
Food's really important to me. I'm Italian. Food is always important, so I'm always organizing the food, right? So, yeah, so with this one, we have Greg Couillard, who's a fantastic chef, who's quite a well-known guy. Mm-hmm. So he loves to do the Wild Women shows. So he's always thinking of some kind of sassy, you know, food he can come along with, and that's what's going to happen. So what they can expect, in essence, is, you know, a lot of really talented women taking up songs and sort of doing their take on it, their covers.
And I understand that you're going to be singing some Carole Pope tracks.
I am. So because it's our theme is Pride and Prejudice, what we are doing is trying to do songs written by Canadian female singers. Mm. And Carole and Rough Trade, you know, when they first came out in the mid-70s, I was still in film school, dreaming of coming to Toronto's to start my music career.
Right.
And I'd heard them in these bars, and they were fantastic. So I really wanted to cover a Carole Pope tune or two, and so that'll be fun.
So can you tease us with maybe a title of a track that you might be doing?
Well, I'm going to for sure do High School Confidential, but I have a couple of other ones that are a little bit more obscure. Birds of a Feather and... Right. I want something from her direct-to-disc recording, which is a bit of a surprise. And then there's a couple of people who are actually doing my songs. So what we're doing is we're kind of flipping it around a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, some great singers. Like, I don't know if you know Alana Bridgewater, but she is extraordinary. Like, mm-hmm. She sings gospel. She sings anything.
Right.
She sings
one
the,
of those.
She's the phone book. It's
I hate people like that.
You know,
you can do everything.
And when
go
I,
away. You're too fabulous.
I know. She's so good. When I sang at the Jack Layton funeral, I asked Alana to come and sing with me because mm-hmm. she is such a deeply powerful person, and I felt so much better having her there. So she's agreed to do this show, and she's been really busy lately, so it's been great that she can do this with us.
So Wild Women Don't Get the Blues, is that your brainchild? How did this come about?
Well, my dear friend Colleen Allen, who I sort of co-produced this show with, mm-hmm. is the artist in residence over at Soul Pepper. And I had at that point become the artist in residence over at Regent Park.
Right.
And we were talking about doing... she said, you know, I'm going to put in a little show in Soul Pepper here. And you know that song you always do, Wild Women Don't Get the Blues, which is an old Ida Cox song. It's an old blues song from 19, the early 30s.
Okay.
And it's a fantastic song. So I used to sing it all the time. She said, would you come and sing this song? So I agreed to go and do the cabaret at her, you know, at Soul Pepper. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards I went, let's do a series and let's bring it to Regent Park. And so it kind of unfolded from there,
right,
where we were like just doing different themes and inviting different people in. And it kind of grew, and it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
This is our first one this year.
Okay. And there have been five others?
There's five others, yeah.
So is it a once-a-year type of thing, or how does it
it's
work?
It's a couple times. Like, what happened over the course of 2 years is I did, you know, five of them over at the paint box there,
okay,
as my part of...
Your residency.
Part of the residency,
okay,
yeah.
So I understand that Wild Women Don't Get the Blues that may go on tour?
Well, maybe? Yeah, I was just with... What,
is so, that supposed to be a secret?
It's
should I not have mentioned that?
Yeah.
Mark!
News, breaking news here with Mark Tara. Well, you know, the idea is it's... the idea is that we definitely see how this could go across the country.
Yeah.
And so, and it takes quite a lot of energy to put these shows together, and then to tour it would be even more so. So I'd have to have a big time executive co-producer with
sure
me on that show, just because there's so many details. Mm-hmm. But, you know, certainly down the road, the desire is there is that we want to take it on the road. We want to figure out the right themes to be doing. And we want to be picking up as well women artists in different cities.
Yes,
you know,
to
like,
feature them.
Yes, because what we'll do is, you know, if we do it the way we want to, we'll have kind of the main band,
mm-hmm,
and then we'll pick up women in different towns, mm-hmm, and we'll be able to feature them and and change up our material and all of that. So ultimately, that would be the dream.
Wild Women Don't Get... So do you think Wild Women Don't Get the Blues?
Well, I that's an adequate, it's a title. In fact, I wanted to change it to Wild Women Don't Get the Blues, They Get Even.
I love that.
Or They Get Revenge, or,
yes,
you know. And sometimes just singing off the stuff that gives you the blues is the perfect revenge, you know.
Yeah. So Wild Women Don't Get the Blues is happening this coming Saturday, June 24th at the Paintbox Bistro. That's in Regent Park, 555 Dundas Street East. Doors open at 3:30. Tickets start at $22. And make sure you go to the website wildwomenpp.eventbrite.com. Again, that's wildwomenpp.eventbrite.com. Lorraine Zagato, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much. And you know what? The thing is it's on Saturday, so I think it's the Dyke March.
Yes.
And so there'll be all manner of events going on. So just come. It's kind of like almost going to be like a tea dance in that it's the late afternoon. So come on out for a couple hours, and then you can go out at 7:30 somewhere else. Or you know,
and walk around, because it's basically... Dundas and Parliament?
Dundas and Parliament, really close to the thing. So yeah, you come, you have a couple drinks, you listen to us, you eat some great food, and then you go party.
Yeah. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you for having me.
There you go. Lorraine Zagato, Wild Women Don't Get the Blues. When I return, David Marsden.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Zagato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
He is a Canadian radio broadcaster, a driving force behind the iconic radio station CFNY, and an influential figure in the Canadian music industry. He is David Marsden, the one and only. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'd love to meet him. He sounds so exciting.
He does, doesn't he? He's iconic.
Hi there. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I feel pretty good. Talking to you is always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
So, David, you've been a broadcaster basically since the 60s?
Yeah, I started when I was a teenager, actually.
But most recently, you have nythespirit.com.
Nythespirit.com, yes, I do.
You do. Talk to me about nythespirit.com. What made you want to create that?
I think it goes back to the fact that CFNY was built in the 80s, and it had a very deep meaning, and the primary reason that it had a deep meaning was because of the music that we played, and also because of the incredible DJs that were there, and because of the openness of the radio station to welcome all. So we got to this point where it became The Edge. Mm-hmm. And The Edge, living on The Edge isn't as much fun as it used to be. So a few years ago, I was sitting around with my business partner, Igor, and he and I were talking about the way radio had become, mm-hmm. commercial radio, mm-hmm. I speak of. And he said to me, do you want to do something about it? And I said, yeah, I do. I want to do something about it. And that was the beginning of the conversation. And about 2 years later, we had built nythespirit.com. It took about a year and a half to 2 years to build the whole thing. And because very important now, lots of people are on the internet and lots of audio is on the internet.
Absolutely.
But a lot of the audio that's on the internet is really, really bad. As much as I enjoy YouTube and some of those, their audio really sucks. Mm-hmm. And it comes to the fact that they're trying to save space within their own tubes, whatever, pipes. And so they squash it down, right. So there's nothing left. So we decided that we were going to spend a year and a half just getting the audio right. Mm. I now get emails from people saying, you know, my CDs don't sound as good.
Wow.
And they list off, you know, my FM radio doesn't sound as good as nythespirit.com. So we built this wonderful thing. And musically, yes, a lot of the music that CFNY discovered back in the day, we play. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want it to just be about the 80s. I wanted it to be about music.
Right.
So, yes, there's a lot of the music from the CFNY days, but there's all piled on top of that is all this brand new music.
Right.
And so much of it, nobody's playing. Nobody even knows it exists. And much of it is Canadian. Mm-hmm. And I've always been really interested in music that belongs to our own country. With the internet, we are now able to get that music out even further.
Right.
Back in the days of CFNY, CFNY was the first radio station to go on satellite. So we were reaching the world, but in a much more limited way. So along came this internet thing, and back in the 90s, I built something called Iceberg Media, which had 12 radio stations inside of it, and one of which was featured overnight here at CIUT, and that was OneGroove.com, which was an EDM dance channel, mm-hmm. and we would actually put our signal, our music, on to CIUT from midnight till 6 a.m. every night, 7 nights a week. And so as I thought about what to do with nythespirit.com, it became more and more important to me that it be about all music.
Right.
And then we brought in DJs. And the DJs are there because of two things. Not because they have lovely voices, quite frankly, although you have a lovely voice, if I may.
No, thanks.
But because they loved their music and they knew about it.
Right.
And all the shows are free form. Every DJ does exactly as that particular DJ wants. Mm-hmm. And so I have Ivor Hamilton, who was a very integral part, he was a music director at CFNY. Mm-hmm. All Night Andre is one of our DJs. He was also a DJ at CFNY. Scott Eagleson does his show from Vancouver, and he was a fill-in kind of guy at CFNY back in the day. Mm-hmm. Rob Stewart, who is part of a group called Slave to the Square Wave, who I'm a huge fan of, and so he brings a show that comes from the idea of how a musician hears music as opposed to a DJ.
Right.
And then James, who was an intern at CFNY, he does a show called The New Music Show, where he plays all the new music. So it's kind of a wonderful thing. We don't have any commercials or anything like that. There is a monthly subscription fee of $5.99. It's like a cup of coffee. Your first 30 days, by the way, is free, so you can come and sample us. And so I'm kind of happy with nythespirit.com, and we're adding more and more every day, and we're trying to improve it more and more every day.
So that's
a long answer to a short question.
Very informative. nythespirit.com. So, David, that's what's happening with you today, nowadays. How did you get started in radio? Like, did you always want to be on radio, a broadcaster?
When I was 13 years old.
Really?
I was listening to the radio one day. And I just knew that's what I want to do. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't understand any of it. I was just 13 years old.
Right.
And so I had a band. I went on the road for a couple of years down in the South. Mm-hmm. And lived down in Arkansas for a couple of years. That was fun.
Were you a musician?
Well, I was basically the manager.
Okay.
But I do play keys, but not for a long time. So when I came back from Arkansas, I thought it was time for me to live my dream. Yeah. And I don't know, I was 18 years old, I suppose. And so I started knocking on doors, radio station doors. And I went to like 31 radio stations, and they all said no. They all said, go sell shoes or something like that, you know. And I was about to give up, and I saw there was an advert or something somewhere. Somebody told me that they were looking for somebody in Chatham, Ontario. Can you imagine? Hmm. CFCO, I think it was. And so I decided to get on a bus, and I got on a bus, and I went up to Chatham. I was living here in Toronto, and off I went to Chatham. And on the bus, there was another guy, and I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I get off the bus, and I make my way to the radio station. And I get to the radio station, and guess who's there? The guy from the bus is there at the interview, and he gets his interview before I do. Mm. He goes in first, and he comes out, and I go in for my interview, and the program director says, oh, we just hired the guy ahead of
you. Oh, you're kidding.
No, and I could have had him, you know, I could have had him shoved off the bus or something. So anyway, I came back to Toronto, and I didn't have any money or anything, and I was just living with friends as best I could. And I met it was called the Westbury Hotel. I think it's a Marriott now, right across from the old, from Charlie's. Do you know where Charlie's used to be, the St. Charles?
Yes.
Just north of college.
Yeah, you know, right, that is a Marriott Courtyard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm downstairs in what was called the men's room.
Okay.
Because in those days, they separated the men from the women when you would drink beer.
Oh, okay.
It was weird. I mean, over there, there were ladies in escorts, and over here were men.
Wow.
So it was a bit of a gathering spot, actually. Oh, rephrase. It was a bit of a cruising spot, actually. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm drinking some beer, and I'm getting a little toasted. And I think, you know, damn, I should have at least gotten an interview.
Yeah.
So I called the guy in Chatham, and I'm just about ready to scream at him and tell him what I think he is. And he says, where have you been? We haven't been able to find you. And I said, I'm in Toronto. Where would I be? And he said, well, you didn't give us a phone number. I said, I don't have a phone number. I didn't have cell phones or anything. And I said, what is it to you? Because I was ready to have a fight with the guy.
Right.
And he says, well, we lost another guy just the day after you left, and we'd like to hire you.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, now I'm all, I went from being angry to being Mr. Nice. Mr. I'm so happy, I can't stand it. And so, anyway, make a long story short, I got the job. I was an operator for the morning show, and then after I would get off the operating for the morning show, I would type out the music sheets for the next day. And that was my first job in radio.
Wow.
And I think I was making $30 a week.
That started it all.
Yeah. And then 3 months later, the station was sold, and the new people came in, and they fired everybody.
Wow.
So I had a grand total of 3 months' experience in radio when I was fired. And then I went to another station and got another job.
Well, David, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about CFNY.
Hello, Toronto. It's party time, and I'm Julie Lee.
I'm DJ Dallas.
You're listening to CIUT
89.5 FM.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's a joy to see you.
I've kind of changed a little bit. This is David Marsden, everyone.
Hi, David. How are you? I'm David.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So, David Marsden, let's talk about CFNY.
Yes.
Let's talk about the heydays, the 80s. Punk was happening. New wave was happening. Really politically charged Canadian music was happening. You've got Rough Trade, Carol Pope, Parachute Club, Lorraine Zagato. What was it like for you working at CFNY in really groundbreaking days, essentially?
Well, yeah, I guess the truth should be told. When I got a hold of CFNY originally, in the very early days, I think we had 12 listeners. And I started playing metal. I started playing... No one else was playing metal, and no one else was playing AC/DC, for example.
Right.
Early Dirty Deeds Done Cheap kind of AC/DC. And so I decided that was what we had to do. CFNY, in its beginning, did not have a good signal. And so I had to do something that no one else was doing in order to be interesting to people. So I started doing that, and then this new radio station came online called Q107, and they were playing metal. So I knew I had to find something else. And it was just at that time, just at that very moment, when the Pistols were coming along, when... You know, even the Joe Jacksons in the early days, all that music was coming along, Vile Tones and Drastic Measures and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And I don't know if you know Drastic Measures, which was Tony Malone, that particular band, one of the members of the band was Carol Pope's brother.
Really?
Yes, yes. So anyway, I just started playing all that music. And... people started listening because, again, they couldn't hear that anywhere else.
Right.
And we had some pretty aggressive and wonderful DJs in those days. Brad McNally was one. Even Terry McGillicutt was there, too, back in those days. All Night Andre, Bruce Hayding, Ivor Hamilton. So it was a pretty exciting place to be. We were housed in a little place, they call it the Little Yellow House, and it's quite famous. If you Google the Little Yellow House, you'll see pictures of it. Mm. It was the most filthy place on earth. It was just grungy, and oh my. I was on the air one night, and the turntables were on my right side, positioned one and two, and number two table was behind my visual. And her, and the vinyl was going, and so I looked around to see. In those days, when your vinyl was skipping, you put a little distilled water onto the vinyl, and then the stylus would just kind of cruise through it, and it would make the scratch disappear.
Okay,
that's a little secret from way back when. And I looked, and it wasn't the vinyl skipping. There was a mouse on the turntable, and every time it would come around, it would hit the arm, and the needle would fly out. So it was grungy, and so we started playing all of that. And then the owners lost the radio station. They had some legal problems, and the CRTC took the license back. And so for a year and a half, we sat there while the CRTC tried to decide what they were going to do. But in that year and a half, we were able to go forward and do whatever we wanted because we had no bosses.
Okay.
And that allowed us to bring forth all this amazing music.
Wow.
And then, of course, I started to worry. Seven people applied to buy CFNY.
Right.
And we weren't big enough yet that they were going to leave us alone, and I knew that. And so there was a danger that the new owners, whoever they may be, might come along and want to do country or
right.
some other format.
Right.
So I started a big campaign, and I got people to write letters, and we took all of that to the CRTC
mm-hmm.
to say, look, all these people believe in what we're doing. Whoever gets the station should leave it alone. So anyway, eventually after the hearings, a new owner was appointed, and they met with me, and they were kind enough to say, okay, we're going to let you do what you want, and in fact, we'd like you to be the program director, because until then, we were just all on our own, and we just all loved what we were doing. You know, if something broke down and you couldn't fix it with Scotch tape, that was the end of it, because there was no money. And so away we went, and by then, of course, the new wave was coming in. And, you know, that was just a never-ending. It was, you know, from the very popular Duran Durans mm-hmm. to way off in the corner, Iggy Pop and all these others.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Police and all this stuff. And so that really was the beginning of it. It was done because the bunch of us, the names I've mentioned, we loved the music,
right?
And we wanted to get it out there.
But there was really something special happening in Canada, mm-hmm. happening in Toronto with music. Like, you know, you had Ultimota. You had, like I was saying, Rough
Teenage
Trade.
Head, yes. Rough Trade. And
Parachute Club, all that sort
yes.
of stuff.
Yes.
We don't really have that anymore.
I think we do.
How so?
I think you just have to look for it in the right places.
Okay.
I think it's there. You've got bands like Fleece coming out of Montreal. Now, most people have never heard of Fleece.
Right. I haven't heard of them.
They sent me an album for nythespirit.com, mm-hmm. and I listened to it, and right away I said, this has to be heard.
Right.
I mean, I could go into naming all kinds of these bands that nobody's paying any attention to.
Right. So do you think that with radio the way it is in 2017, do you think that a group like Fleece can get airplay and be viable at that point? Do you think that still exists?
I think it does, but the shape of it has changed.
Right.
You know, when the internet first came along and way back in the 90s, it was like someone opened up Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not referencing the radio channel. That's just an old-fashioned expression. Pandora's box was opened. And it was at that moment that music fans, because by now the FM had gone formatted and AM had gone talk and blah, blah, blah. But at that moment when the internet, suddenly they discovered that there was more to life than just the top 40.
Right.
Suddenly there was more to life than just album rock. Suddenly, and so on. And radio, in some cases, managed to stay up with it. I can't name a single station that did, however. But what happened at that moment was when people realized there was more to music and life than that top 40.
Right.
suddenly we're discovering all these different genres of music.
Yeah.
I mean, you go into dance. You know, there's 23 different forms of dance or EDM. Mm-hmm. And then you go to rock, there's like another 10 or 15 forms of rock. And then when you go into the hip hop and the rap and all the rest of that, and people were discovering all this for the very first time. And it was like freedom, as Lorraine would say.
Because of the internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that has changed things. Mm-hmm. What it's done is it's caused, there's no longer albums that are selling 12 million copies.
Right.
And that's because people are split across all these different genres.
Yeah.
And so today, people are buying music, listening to music, going to concerts, etc., that have nothing to do with what FM radio is playing. You take a thing like Veld or Digital Dreams down by the lakeshore, or those EDM events, and it's all 20, 30, 40 DJs from all over the world playing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with FM radio.
Yeah.
However, you have people such as ourselves with nythespirit.com, where we're opening that up.
Right.
And maybe you don't feel like going to Spotify and looking for new music. So that's where we come in.
Right.
Because you can come into us and we play it. There's no fuss, no muss. The DJs are doing their thing. We do our thing, and the stream goes 24/7. And that's where we're getting the new music, i.e. the Fleece, for example. The Kruger Band, another band. They're out of someplace north, like Owen Sound or someplace. And Michael McLuhan, I don't know if you know Dr. McLuhan's son. He lives up that way, and he sent me a note on Facebook one day, and he said, "I've got something I want to send you. What's your address?" And I've known Michael since forever. And so I gave him my address, and he sent me this Kruger Motel album. 3-CD set. There is not a single part of any of the 3 CDs that isn't fantastic.
Wow.
But nobody's ever heard of them.
Yeah.
But yet they're touring. They have fans.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to do a 3-CD set. It's a beautiful package.
Right.
So there's all kinds of this music out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would wager to guess that there are several people listening to us right now who are saying, "That's what I'm doing." They're making the music.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be in a studio anymore because you've got software. You're in your own studio in the basement.
Technology.
Yes.
The internet.
I love the technology.
Mm-hmm.
But it has narrowed things down.
Mm-hmm.
So it really means that you're in boutique music land.
Great word, boutique music land.
Yeah.
Great phrase.
It's like you can go to Metro, or you can go to Sobeys, or you can what grocery store you choose, or you can go to a specialty shop and get really good cheese. Which are you going to go to?
Like nythespirit.com.
Yes, we're the really good. I shouldn't say we're any good cheese. That would be wrong.
So let's change things up a bit.
Yep.
Let's talk about Canadian artists selected by you.
Mm-hmm.
An acronym, the CASBYs.
Yes.
You started that.
I started it because at the time, the Junos were still do it, but...
What are your thoughts on the Junos, real quick?
Well, this is why I started the CASBYs.
There's your answer, Mark.
No, I was in my car one day and they were announcing that the Juno Awards were going to be given, the nominations and all this. And one of the people they said that would be nominated, that had been nominated for a most promising artist category, was a guy by the name of Long John Baldry. Long John Baldry was a massive star like humongous star in Britain, he discovered Rod Stewart. He discovered Elton John. In fact, Elton's last name is because of Long John Baldry.
Really?
Yes. So he was a massive star. And they were calling him a most promising artist? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the station that day, and I went on the air, and I said, Ted Walshin was on, actually, and I said, we're starting an award show. And he said, right. And we're going to call it the UKNOWS, mm-hmm. UKNO, and because the people are going to vote. There's not going to be nominations. It's going to be an open field. And so we started it. The first year, I had a budget of $659. And we did it up on top of the CN Tower. And it was such a wonderful drunk party that the revolving restaurant, and of course the stage was stationary, and so about once every 20 minutes or so, uh-huh. you'd pass the stage and yeah. go, hello, and then... So when it was over and we'd handed out awards, and yes, Carol Pope and Rush Trade won that year, this would have been around 79, I'm thinking, maybe 80 at the earliest, latest. Also, you've got to do this next year. And so I started out $651 or whatever. And when I left the show 10 years later, we had a budget of about $2 million.
Wow.
It had grown within itself. Exponentially, I suppose one could say.
Right.
And I don't know what they've done with it subsequently, but it became a national TV show. It was a CBC network show. Mm-hmm. And we had radio stations all across the country carrying us because in those days TV didn't have stereo. And I thought it was very important. If people are going to hear Nash the Slash, they better hear him in stereo.
Right.
And so we linked up with radio stations coast to coast to carry the stereo feed, mm-hmm. and the CBC carried the pictures. And it became pretty massive, but I think now it's been downsized. Hmm. But it was responsible for really bringing forward Pursuit of Happiness, for example.
Right. I'm an adult now.
I've heard that about you. It was there because it was needed.
Right.
And it became huge, not by any of my doing. It became huge because it was needed. Because people wanted to hear this music. It didn't have to be in Toronto and CFNY to still love Rough Trade.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be in Toronto to love Teenage Head. You could be in Winnipeg and love Teenage Head.
Yeah.
And, of course, a lot of the bands, Northern Pikes and all those bands, they were coming out of those areas. Images in Vogue, for example. Yeah. I think they were out of Alberta somewhere.
Yeah.
Colin James out of Vancouver. And it was an exciting...
It was an exciting time.
It was a very exciting time. Again, I think probably fueled somewhat by the lack of options. The internet has opened those options.
Right, I get it.
Huge.
Got it.
And so that's the story. I should tell you the reason I changed the name from UKNOW to CASB.
Sure.
We were the UKNOWS for 3 years, and then we took it national with CBC. Sorry. We took it national with CBC. At that point, the people, Crea, I think it was, one of the recording industry things, mm-hmm. who owned the Juno, they put up a stop sign. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, you can't do this. You can't call it the UKNOWS. We're the Junos, and you can't make fun of us. Because there was a little bit of that.
Right.
So we held a contest nationwide, and... A woman out of Halifax came up with Canadian Artist Selected by You.
Nice.
CASB. And we flew her in for the show and all that sort of thing. But that's the reason we changed it, is because there were some individuals that didn't like the idea that we were making a little bit of fun. But we were really being serious about the music.
Yeah.
Well, David, let's take another break, and we'll be right back.
Break.
Hi, I'm Liberty Silver, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
So, David, you're an openly gay individual.
I am.
And as am I, an openly gay person. You were telling me a story about being at a radio station, and it was it the station manager?
It was CFNY, was the radio station.
Okay.
And just to set the mood, I had... At least once in my illustrious career to that point, I had been fired because someone thought I was, quote, unusual, whatever that means. So you could be fired for being unusual. And I was in the really early stages of the Little Yellow House at CFNY, and it was after the station was sold and the second new owners were in. And I get a call on a Saturday morning, 9:30, and it's the general manager. And he says, can you meet me in the station in 15 minutes? And right. I said, why? And he said, just don't worry about it. Just meet me there. So I live close to the building, and so I drove over. I don't do mornings very well, so I'm still half asleep. And I'm thinking, what's this about, you know? And he comes in, and he says, rather sternly, nice man, very stern, he says, did you hear what happened last night? And I, no, what happened? And he says, well, the cops busted a bunch of people, the 200-plus people in the bathhouses, and they've arrested everybody. And I said, oh, no, really? And he said, and we're going to do an editorial about it. And I thought, is this the moment that I am going to get fired again? Because I knew I couldn't let it pass. I knew I had to take a stand. Something just told me you have to say yes or no to this. Right. And I was quite nervous. And I said, well, what do you want to do, an editorial? He said, yes, I want to speak to this. And... he's a wonderful guy, and you know, five children, very straight guy. And I said, well, what do you want to talk about? And he said, I want to do an editorial, and I want to do it now, and I want to get it on the air immediately. And he thrusts two pieces of paper at me and says, here's what I have to say. And I read those pieces, those words. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in my life, I knew that I could be me, because he sided with the people who had been arrested. And we did the editorial, we put it on the air, and again CFNY was leading the way. We were the first media to take a side. We were the first media to editorialize, and I'm delighted and proud to sit here and say that the side we took was the right side. And it was the first time in my entire career when I knew, finally, I can be myself. And I came flying out of that damn closet that very morning.
Well, David Marston, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Are we all done? I got more stories to tell.
Well, you'll have to come back.
Hi, guys. This is Mika Barnes. Very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, and I'm your little gay host. I'm Mark Tara, your tour guide through Rainbow Country. So that was my special gay pride episode featuring David Marsden, like you just heard, Lorraine Zagato, and off the top, Toronto Mayor John Tory. Don't forget, get social, get interactive. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. You want to be on the show? Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. Next week, poet Tanya Neumeier. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Got my own. Yeah.